This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are listening to Glorious, a song written by the drag queen Sharon Sharalike and performed with the Hope Church Band at their recent Drag Sunday service. Among the drag queens at Hope Church in Bloomington, Illinois, is an undergrad at Illinois Wesleyan University, making history in our state and around the world. Isaac Simmons is the first drag queen to be certified or allowed into the process of becoming a minister in the United Methodist Church. He's also the first openly gay man to be certified in the Illinois Great Rivers Conference. While studying business management and religious studies, Isaac joined Hope Church as the director of operations, and today he joins us to talk about intertwining drag artistry with spirituality. Isaac, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It is exciting to be able to share a bit of my story.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're here. Can you talk about the significance of this process, the certification within the United Methodist Church for those who might be a little less familiar with the denomination?
Absolutely. Well, right now, the United Methodist Church is undergoing a dissolution over the ability to include or exclude LGBT people within the church. Currently, the doctrine says that, quote, a self-avowed practicing homosexual is incompatible with the teachings of Jesus Christ, end quote. And so for an openly queer man like myself to be certified within a historically more conservative conference of the church is groundbreaking. There have been closeted queer folks, people who were shoved back into the closet who have come before me. But yes, I am the first to be open and out and have the support.
And there definitely is a division. I mean, you see this, you mentioned this split. There are some branches of the United Methodist Church that hang, you know, pride flags and are very welcoming to LGBTQ plus people. Have you always been an active churchgoer? You attend Illinois Wesleyan University. Can you talk about your journey to Hope Church?
Yeah, so I actually didn't grow up in a church. I didn't start going to church until my first boyfriend back in high school invited me. And that was at the time that I was in the process of coming out to my family. And I fell in love with church, with religion, because that church had wrapped their arms around me and accepted me in. I became United Methodist. That was a non-denominational church. I became United Methodist after attending my first drag show in Bloomington. And the security was provided by the pastors at Hope Church. And so I figured, you know, why not go support them since they're supporting me? That's how I kind of landed in the Methodist world.
Well, let's ask about that aspect of your life. And how did you get into drag?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it all started with a research project in undergrad. I was doing a methods class for my religious studies degree, and I was looking into Mikhail Bakhtin, this old Russian philosopher, and he had this idea that one of the ways to subvert systems of oppression and to commit lasting change is through the carnivalesque, through laughter and through over-the-top joy. And so I figured, what's more carnivalesque than drag? And for me, drag became the spiritual force in my life of meditation, of social change, of equity. And so I tied it in with my faith because it was just a point where it just made sense to connect.
And your drag persona is Ms. Penny Cost. Maybe you can talk about the inspiration behind her and particularly the significance of her name. It might have a familiar ring to people familiar with some ideas in Christian spirituality.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So it is kind of public knowledge that LGBT people have historically been excluded from faith institutions. And yet there are still folks in the community in faith institutions that are working to change. And for me, in order to reach LGBT people, in order to reach people in the more of a center point of view along the lines of inclusion, I use drag as my language for interaction. And with that, there's a story in the Bible of Pentecost, this moment where the Holy Spirit is said to have come down upon these followers of Jesus and allowed them to speak in new languages, in new ways to new people. And so drag as my language to reach new people is my moment of Pentecost, my Holy Spirit. And so it just made sense to embody that through this 1960s church lady who is Miss Pentecost.
Wow, you can really feel the religious studies aspect of your education coming through.
Yes.
What motivated you to pursue ordination then?
Oh, yeah. It actually goes back to that first day in church when my first boyfriend invited me. It was after the service, we were all standing around trying to figure out where to go for lunch. It was like, are we going to Chick-fil-A? Are we going to whatever small town food place it was? And the pastor came over and he said, "Listen, I don't know who you are or why you're here." And in my head, I was like, "Oh man, it's my first day and I'm already being ran out of church." But he followed it with, "You right here, right now is enough. And that is all you will ever have to be." And in that moment, it just clicked. Like, this is what I am meant to do. I am meant to create spaces where people can just exist and know that they are enough. Not like having to become something different, but just by simple existence.
So I understand that the certification is just the first step on a long journey to becoming ordained. What can you talk about the moment though, when you heard that you were certified? How did that feel? What was that like?
I was overjoyed. I was not expecting it at all. I was expecting to receive, to quote the great Ariana Grande, "Thank you, next," from my conference. But I received a unanimous vote of approval. And I said, "Thank you so much," in a poised way. And I left the room and went out to my car and just cried and cried. Because for me, that vote, that moment of validation was not just validation for myself. It was validation for every single LGBTQIA plus individual in and adjacent to the church.
And I'm sure you have, you know, dealt with some negativity in other areas of your life. I mean, you're the first openly gay man put forward in the Illinois Great Rivers Conference. There was some negative pushback, including a Southern Baptist leader who called it doctrinal annihilation. How do you respond to that sort of negativity about this?
Yeah. Well, luckily, I have a great therapist and I have great pastors that I can vent to and I can talk things through with. But nothing that has been said to me after this process is new to the queer community. Nothing has been said that has not been said before. People have faced oppression. My queer ancestors have faced abuse, threats, real violence, and I have received death threats. I have received threats against my entire church. But I, as a cis white man, as a man of privilege, see it as a duty to create change through conversations. And so I try to reach out to folks who I think will have real honest conversations with me to see if we can just talk about it.
Last thing I want to ask you, and we only have about 30 seconds left, but what is your message? Younger people are less likely to have a religious affiliation. LGBTQ plus people, as you've said, have often been excluded from Christian faith. What do you say to people who maybe want to practice faith but are afraid of being themselves?
Yeah, I want to say that there are places for you, that there are people rooting for you around this world that you haven't met yet, and that you are beautiful and perfect and divine.
Isaac Simmons is the first drag queen, also known as Ms. Pentecost, to be allowed into the process of becoming a minister in the United Methodist Church, also the first openly gay man to be certified in the Illinois Great Rivers Conference of that denomination. Isaac Simmons, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. I want to thank you for listening to us. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Scullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. Please go to our website, 21stshow.org, where you can sign up for our podcast. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.